Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back. Final hour of the Big Bad Morning Show. Jeremy Cunn, Ed Norris here with you. Rob Long is off this week. We welcome in Sam Monson of Pro Football Focus, going to talk some football. Sam, great to talk to you. How are you?
Good. How's it going, guys?
Good, good. So let me get your thoughts. Lamar is back in camp, minicamp now, mandatory minicamp for that matter. He missed OTAs. Fans were a little upset about that. But with him being back in the fold, worried about the contract extension, all the things going on, what type of season do you expect from Lamar this year?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think Lamar, we've seen him a little bit inconsistent over the last few years. Obviously, we had that unanimous MVP season that showed what he's capable of doing. I think hitting that level every single year is unrealistic, and pretty much no quarterback is able to do that, even the greatest ones of all time. There's variance there, but we've seen him kind of bounce around in performance. And last season, kind of hidden in the injuries and all that, was that Lamar wasn't playing that well even before he went down. There was a real decline in his performance over the season before the injury started to take root. I think he'll bounce back from last season, but I think he needs to start pushing towards that MVP kind of season again to show Baltimore that he should be getting top of the market money. You know, he's worth every cent as the best paid quarterback in the NFL, which presumably is what he wants to be.
You guys came out with a list of the top coaches in the league, and we were happy to see our coach at number two. I think he's well deserved. I think he's a really good coach that deals with some adversity real well. But some of the questions, people had questions about how like Cliff Kingsbury would be ahead of like Sean McVay, who just won a Super Bowl. Like, what were the parameters for that?
Yeah, I think it depends. There's a couple of different rankings that we've put out with head coaching stuff. The thing that Eric Eager did on the website recently is looking just at play callers. So that has got a bunch of the data science stuff that we have on the back end and adjust for opponents, all those kinds of things. And it's looking at just that aspect of the game. And then there's other rankings that I think Connor McQuiston has put out that factors in a little bit more, and that looks at a wider variety of things. And I think when you look at Cliff Kingsbury in particular, the Cardinal season ends on a down note, or has for the last couple of years, and so the sort of feeling in the offseason about the Cardinals is one of doom and gloom and how it's not going well, and they really need a big year, otherwise everyone's going to be under pressure. But if you just kind of zoom out and look at their overall, you know, year-on-year record, that team's moving in the right direction. They went from, what, 3 wins to 5 wins to 8 wins to 11 wins. They've gone from literally the worst team in the NFL to a playoff team. Okay, they got bounced in the first round pretty spectacularly, but they're making big strides. And if you look at the points differential as well, they were like minus 200 the year before Cliff took over, and they've improved that every single year as well. I think they doubled their positive points differential last year versus the year before. Things are going in the right direction. They just end badly. And okay, that's they need to figure that out, because they're now in the area of, you know, if you're a playoff team, there's no scope for it ending badly. If you end badly, you're going home. You don't have the ability to, well, let's bounce back next week and regroup and figure out what went wrong. They need to figure out why these seasons are tailing off and why it's collapsing down the back end. But I think overall, Cliff Kingsbury, Kyler Murray, the Cardinals organization generally, they're doing better than the kind of reputation or the perception about how they're doing is because of how those seasons have been ending. Because they end so badly, everybody sort of feels down on them. But if you actually look at the performance overall, they're doing a good job.
Sam, talking to Sam Monson of Pro Football Focus here on the Big Bad Morning Show, and what are your thoughts on the AFC West, but more importantly, the Raiders? Because lots of, you know, when you look at the moves, I mean, that getting Davante Adams kind of changes everything on offense, and then they lock up Hunter Renfro, and that's a really solid offense, if whether or not their defense can hold up. But I personally wouldn't be shocked to see any two or even three teams come out of that division, depending on how much they beat up on each other.
No, I agree. I mean, the AFC West is crazy right now. They went on this arms race collectively in the division this offseason. The only team that didn't was Kansas City, who were already, you know, an elite Super Bowl contending team every single year, as long as they have Patrick Mahomes. So everybody went crazy. And the Raiders, I kind of have some sympathy for them because they were like the last one to go. And, you know, they sat there and watched the Chargers assemble what looks like a contending team. They watched Denver get Russell Wilson and propel themselves into the conversation. And the Raiders are kind of looking at this and saying, we have a good quarterback, but he might be the fourth best quarterback in this division in any given year. What do you do with that? And they decided, well, look, screw it. Let's join in. And they go get Davante Adams and they go get Chandler Jones. And they just try and bring in guys that are going to make a difference and hope that they can contend. But you're right, that is going to be a brutal division. I did power rankings recently, and I think I had all four teams inside the top 10, maybe, of league-wide in terms of power rankings. Obviously, it's a division. They're all going to play each other. They're going to beat each other up. It's not going to pan out that way. But all four of those teams, you know, may be amongst the best teams in the NFL, and one or two of them are going to miss out because they're going to take wins off each other.
And that division aside, how do you see the AFC North then? Where you told me the West we're looking at, which is incredibly strong. What about our division when the Steelers, I seem never count, but now people are kind of discarding them. The Bengals go to the Super Bowl. If the Ravens come back healthy, where do you see them with this division?
Yeah, I think that's one of the other divisions that has an argument to be the strongest division as well. It's a little bit more up in the air because, you know, we don't know what Cleveland is going to look like yet because we don't know who their quarterback is going to be. But if they get, you know, a Deshaun Watson all season long and he's not suspended, that roster is good enough to contend. It was supposed to be last year and their quarterback injures his shoulder in week two, plays hurt all year and just, it doesn't work. But a healthy Baker Mayfield would be a huge upgrade for them. A Deshaun Watson, based off what we saw the last time he was playing football, is an even bigger upgrade for them. So that is a team that could contend for a Super Bowl if they have their quarterback all season long. Baltimore last season, I mean, they were the number one seed, you know, a decent portion through the year before injuries caught up to them and the whole thing just unraveled. If they get back healthy, they're immediately a contending team again. They're too good. We talked before, they have one of the best coaches in the NFL. They are one of the most kind of analytically progressive teams in the NFL. They know what they're doing. They're able to steal sort of win percentage points in little bits and pieces in almost every single area. So Baltimore absolutely will be a contending team. The Bengals, I think, overachieved to make the Super Bowl last year, but they had a really good offseason to help them try and achieve that again. They completely overhauled an offensive line that was still a big problem. Joe Burrow showed that he was for real. Ja'Marr Chase showed that he was for real. So all of a sudden, the Bengals, I think, are probably in a better position than they were a year ago and just have to try and replicate what they were able to do. And then the Pittsburgh Steelers might have the worst roster. They might have the worst quarterback, but they have Mike Tomlin. And, you know, that guy's never had a losing season for good reason. He's a really good head coach. He might not do it the same way as some other guys, but he will get that team playing to the best of their abilities. And then the only question is, like, how good is that?
Sam Monson, Pro Football Focus. You can check him out on Twitter. Check out Pro Football Focus. Sam, as always, man, we appreciate all the insight.
Thanks, guys. Take it easy.
Thank you, Ben.
That's Sam Monson. I was going to ask him about which quarterbacks are you know, on the hot seat this year. You know, with Tua being as good as Pat Mahomes, you'd have to consider him now. He's as accurate as Tyreek Hill says. I think a guy like Zach Wilson, Jets fans want to see, you know, progress. Yeah. They keep drafting quarterbacks.
He's
in the
supposed
top
to have
five.
The arm.
Yeah, we'll find out.
As they say, he can make every throw.
Yes. So. Especially out there in practice. All right, we're going to talk to Mike Bordick. We're going to get him at 9:30. The Daily Line's coming up next. I'll tell you where I'm placing my wagers, not only in the NBA, but also in Major League Baseball today. That's coming up right here on 105.7 The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joe, I had my headsets off. Can you play that again for me? I missed it. What did he say? That was Avalanche Radio. Ed, did you hear it?
Excuse me?
Nothing.
Better than Dave Mishkin.
Yeah.
I can't stand that guy.
Waiting for Ed to come over and clothesline me. That way he'll have to finish this segment. Maybe he'll wait till the end if he has any sort of patience.
Oh, I've got patience.
Yeah.
Why don't you just play all the small things, and that really pissed me off here.
Yeah? All the small things? Why does that piss you off?
They play that at all the Avalanche games.
Why?
It's the thing they have going out there. They play that, and when the arena actually cuts out the song, and, you know, they cut out in the between. The audience, the attendees, all the fans finish it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. Like, so there you go. We should play that during the next hockey segment.
We should just play that during every, like, come back from break every segment with all the small things. That's actually what I play when I get undressed before I make whoopee.
You know the worst part of that? You know what the name of the album that was on, All the Small Things?
All the Small Things was on, it's got Janine Lindemalter on the front, right? Where she's...
The tattooed lady?
Yeah.
She, I had her in studio once.
Did you?
Yeah.
The porn star?
Yes.
Yeah, she's the girl that's on the front cover putting the rubber glove
no,
on.
No, it's not that. I think it's...
It's the other album?
Yeah, it's Enema of the State.
Yeah, I thought that was it.
Where that she, was it?
I think so.
Well, maybe you're right. Maybe it was.
That's it.
Yeah, it is it.
Enema of the State. That's Janine Lindemalter.
I didn't realize it was her.
She gone.
Yeah, she did die, didn't
that's
she?
Right.
She
did. When we were in on Washington Avenue, she was in studio.
Can I
She's
ask
a beautiful you, woman. The most beautiful tattoos I've ever seen.
Yeah.
That was like Hollywood work.
Let me ask you this question. This is going to be so awful. And I hope I don't get in trouble for this.
What?
Can you get off to someone if you know they're deceased?
Yeah.
You can?
I can. I don't mean.
Joe, does that bother you at all?
Living in the internet porn age, it does kind of... Because there's a few different porn stars that have passed away in like the last 5 or 6 years, and I'm like, this feels kind of weird now.
Well, they always say like that you have that weird feeling afterwards where you kind of like feel sad or
pure
feel
shame.
Disgusted with yourself. That's never happened more so than when I found out afterwards that that person had died.
I mean, like, are you talking Elvis or Janine Lindemalt?
Both. I can just say Elvis. My mom loves Elvis. My mom went to Ocean City to see all the... They had all the fake Elvises come in. She paid and stayed there for a weekend, just surrounded by these Elvis impersonators. I think it's like the dumbest thing ever.
You polish a little pearl onion looking at Elvis and wisdom.
Oh, man.
Don't be cruel.
I'm going to be cruel to you. Anyway, all right, we're doing... This segment's already busted. All right. So yesterday didn't go well for me. I told you I liked the Cubs, and I was saying, like, I still kind of like the over, but 12, it was getting kind of high. 12's a lot of runs. Padres scored 19 in that game, so I don't think they had a problem with it. As the wind's blowing out, as I told you, Wrigley's the most affected by wind, and we have another wind game at Wrigley. So my plays for yesterday... I had Tampa Bay in the NHL. I lost that. Angels, Dodgers over. Chris Taylor almost hit a three-run shot, which have really helped out as Mike Trout leapt up and robbed him of a homer. That one went under. Had the Cubs, busted. Rockies, Guardians, busted. It was a terrible day for me. The only one I got right was the Brewers and wasn't happy about that. So it was my like big-time losing day. So we like to bounce back today, and there's a lot that I like. I'll start with the NBA and spend a little time on this, Ed, because I like the Celtics war. I told you the total is going to keep going down. It only went down a point right now, and it might go down lower, so I'd bet it now. But I like the Celtics and Warriors to go under. I would lean Celtics minus the 3.5, but it's a tough bet with how they played the last two games and knowing their inconsistencies. I do think they're the better team. I've thought that the whole series. So I'll be pulling for them tonight, but I think the under is the correct play at 210. I would bet that. It's one of my favorite plays today. Not my favorite play overall, which I'll give you in just a second, and I think people understand why it's my favorite play overall. But I'm on quite a bit. The weather edge loves the A's over, the Cubs over, the Tigers over. Guess what? I'm actually on all three of them.
Really?
Yeah, the Oakland-Boston, it's a 135 start. The total's 9. Weather supports this to go over the total. Money's coming in heavy on the under, and I think that has a lot to do with the A's because they don't hit as well as some of the other teams, but I think today it'll be a little bit different. I like A's and Red Sox to go over 9. I like the Mariners to knock off the Angels. Mariners are plus 105. I don't know why, and look, I understand pitching matchups and everything, so I'm going to make a silly statement, but people understand. It's hard to fathom the Angels are favored over anyone right now with the way that they've been playing. They do get a favorable matchup as it's Shohei Ohtani, but on the flip side, it's George Kirby for Seattle, who's been pitching great. He's 1-1 with a 3.65 ERA, 35 Ks to 4 walks.
Wow.
Being at home, I love Seattle in this spot. The total, by the way, 7.5. I think the under is a really good play. That's a late game. That's a 10 o'clock game tonight. I like the Orioles and Jays to go under 8.5. We've seen a lot of high scoring. Everybody's been betting the overs in every one of these games. It seems like every game goes over.
Look at yesterday.
Yeah, it's just crazy.
I mean, yesterday you had, let's see, the White Sox, 13 runs, 13-0 over the Tigers. You told the Red Sox, 10-1 over the A's. Brewers, 10-2 over the Mets. And, of course, 19-5, Padres over the Cubs. That's a ton of runs.
Yeah. And all those games, what's the consistent thing in a lot of those games? The weather edge, by the way, supported every one of those games to go over. Yep. I didn't want to, with Milwaukee, you had Corbin Burns on the mound and Drew Peterson has been fine, and Milwaukee's been, they haven't been hitting as well as they should. It liked the over in that game, and philosophically, just looking at totals, I couldn't bet the over in that one. But the other games,
what's the deal in Queens in City Field?
What do you mean, yesterday?
Yeah, like.
So like today it's all out of whack. This is one of the weird ones where I don't bring it up. Where it says home runs are down 45%, runs are scored up 30%, and the pitching, so it doesn't make any sense. So I don't bet those games. I stay away from that. Yeah. Sometimes it can get a little like goofy. There's only two.
That's
games
funny.
Of
that
data.
Supports what I said to who we talked to this week. Boy,
well, one of our Jim Duquette or
no?
Can we go through all our guests? From
yeah,
this
could
week?
You?
Just. Hey, can you stop the show and read off all the guests?
Jim Hunter. It was what I said, that the Mets have fewer runs than the Orioles, but they lead majors in scoring.
Yeah.
That now that supports that.
Yeah. That it's been, and that was another thing. That was one of the reasons why a lot of people yesterday in Daily Fantasy stayed away from Corbin Burns, good pitcher against a top offense, but he was legit as he always is and a Cy Young candidate. I like Tampa Bay and New York over 7.5. And I like I mentioned the A's and Red Sox. I like Texas and Detroit to go over the 9. That's another one that the weather edge supports greatly. But here, I'm going to flip around and show you my, my favorite game. Look at these numbers and maybe you'll understand it. Wow. That's the Cubs and the Padres. The total is 10.5. They're saying what? Almost a 70% more chance of home runs
80.
Being hit. 80, okay.
79.9, 80.
Yeah, so you got it in front of you. Mm-hmm. You could see the runs are up.
33%.
Yeah, and then the pitching's in green.
The pitching's in red because the ERA is going the wrong way. So it's all scoring.
So it's all scoring in the game, and that's what... Yeah. And by the way, when I look at what everybody's betting, Ed, it's easy to see, too. You can see on this... actually, the total's not on here yet. So it doesn't matter. But that being said, that game is... People are going to bet the over, and I still think it's the right side. And me being a contrarian, it's hard for me to get away from it after seeing what's gone on. I just think both teams are going to hit. And we're still waiting for the Cubs to really get it going. They've scored 5 runs both games, and you're like, well, that's a lot. But when the other team's scoring double digits, 12 and 19 respectively, you feel like you should be on it. But my favorite
Cubs
play today—
Cubs are way below 500, though.
Yeah. But they still got some fly ball hitters. Ian Happ, Frank Schwindel, more important, Patrick Wisdom and Wilson Contreras have been.
I mean, they have few wins than the O's.
Yeah, they're not a good team. They strike out a lot, but they can hit. They got a lot of fly ball hitters. So in a park like this, a couple of them should be getting out, but we haven't seen it as much as we like. But just to recap, my favorite play, Cubs over. I like the Orioles under, Mariners to knock off the Angels, Texas, Detroit over 9, A's and Red Sox over 9, and the Rays and Yankees over 7.5. And I love the Celtics Warriors under 210. There you go. All right, up next, we're going to talk to Bordy. Mike Bordick joins us, get his thoughts on the Orioles, the matchup with Gausman today, and more. We'll do that right here on The Fan.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to Big Bad Morning Show. We welcome in our guest, our friend Mike Bordick. He joins us now to talk a little Orioles. Mike, how are you?
Hey, good. Good morning, guys. Sorry I missed that first hour. Who would have thought that Nashville, Tennessee is an hour behind Baltimore? I never realized that. Just got into town, and I missed the early wake-up call.
You're not there for the Orioles when they moved down to Nashville, are you? Is this
sort well? Of, I'm here to scout it out. Yeah, absolutely. No, I'm here watching my.
What's the final place for prices to go up?
Yeah. Hey, I'm obviously kidding, Mike. I did want to talk about the home run that Adley hit last night because I was hoping that this would be one that kind of it's like taking the lid off the hoop. Now he finally gets a relax. He got it, and I don't feel like he's. Maybe he's been pressing a little bit. What are you seeing as at-bats? Because it looked like a sweet swing when he knocked it over the center field wall.
Boy, didn't it? Yeah, that was nice. And hopefully that is a big load off his shoulders. And he looked like he relaxed afterwards. He looked like, I mean, he was enjoying, obviously, that experience. Finally get a couple RBIs on the board as well. And it was, you know, it was a big hit for the team at the time. And I think those are the type of things that are going to help him kind of settle in offensively, be a little bit more consistent. Listen, hitting at the major league level is it's a bear, man. And if you're in your head a little bit, a lot of times you're going to be defeated. So the ability to just kind of relax up there and trust his natural skills, you know, hopefully that's what that big home run did. He's got a lot on his plate just catching in the major leagues. Definitely not the easiest position to break in as a rookie, handling a major league pitching staff, trying to call a game, go through 9 innings against some of the toughest lineups in the world. So he's definitely had a lot on his plate. Offense is always the last to come. I remember, you know, Buck Showalter was the manager here in Baltimore. He said, be patient with every young player's hitting as long as they can catch the ball and defend. They're going to be successful, and that's what he's been doing. I mean, he's been blocking the crap out of the ball behind the plate. Seems like he's calling a good game, and he's a nice big target back there. So good to see. Hopefully he does relax a little bit offensively and can produce a little bit more.
What do you think of Lopez's performance now that he's it looks like an established closer?
Yeah, he's got all kinds of weapons. I mean, typically, a lot of these closers are just kind of a one-trick pony, and, you know, they either got an overpowering fastball or a wipeout slider or maybe even a devastating split finger. But he's got a full arsenal that he can tap into. He can steal some early strikes, which I think is crucial for any pitcher, have the ability to kind of catch hitters off guard and get in the strike zone for strike one. You hear it time and time again that strike one is so important at the major league level. The advantage just definitely goes the way of the pitcher. So he has that ability to get ahead. He's got incredible movement, too, on that fastball with the ability to hold incredible velocity. He's a beast back there. And, you know, we talk about the confidence, guys kind of settling into roles. He has really taken on this role, and he loves being in those. It appears to be loves to be in those high leverage situations and in control of the back end of the ball.
He's got an attitude now; like he seems like a closer.
I know. I agree totally because you know he's just like a super nice guy, soft spoken as a starting pitcher. You know, I'm going to do my best. I'm going to go out there and you know, try to give my team a chance to win. And now he's got a little chip on his shoulder.
Oh, he's badass.
Like,
yeah.
You can almost see the fire coming out of his eyes.
Hey, talking to Mike Bordick here on the Big Bad Morning Show. We were talking about Zimmerman. His last couple starts, you know, one time making it out of the fifth, giving up double-digit hits. You can't put on two guys per inning and expect to win a game. What are you seeing with him? Do you have concerns?
Oh, absolutely, I have concerns. Absolutely, and everybody should. I mean, man, oh man, it's just, you know, mistakes in the plate. The long ball obviously is really hurting him right now. The inability to put away, you know, hitters. And not getting deep into ball games. I think everybody should be concerned. I think, well, just from his, you know, brief history in the major league level, he starts off really good and then seems to kind of wane a little bit. And I don't know if the league has all of a sudden figured him out a little bit. If who knows, maybe, listen, he's not throwing 95 to 98, so he doesn't have that kind of room margin for error, if you will. He's a low 90s fastball guy. He's got to be precise with his location, and that's the thing. His location is off, and if you're leaving pitches over the middle of the plate, you're gonna get hit hard, and that's what's been happening.
You think we'll see any movement as far as, you know, we've been talking about guys like Mancini forever as being an obvious trade piece, Santander. I wonder if a guy like Lopez now, you know, somebody might be looking at him, who, you know, needs a closer in the postseason. Do you think we'll start seeing some of this?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't think there's any doubt. I don't know that there's anybody aside from Rutschman right now that is not a potential piece to move, you know, throughout the summer here. I feel like Elias wants to keep his guys. I'm not saying he doesn't trust, you know, some of the guys that are doing a great job, like Cedric Mullins, that have been, you know, obviously Mountcastle signed before his regime. But I think, you know, just the fact that the guys that he picked are now starting to kind of filter into the major leagues. Stowers finally getting called up, obviously Rutschman. But, yeah, I think if there is potential and opportunity to have high-value guys like a Lopez, like a Mancini, Cedric, you know, I don't know that anybody should be looked at as untouchable. If you can get back a stronger return and continue to strengthen the already strong minor leagues and continue to, you know, add pieces at the major league level, I think they're going to try to do that. You know, why not? They're in last place again in the American League East. I don't know if they're going to, you know, lose 110 games like they have, or 105 games. And they're certainly a more competitive team, but their calling card, which is just continuing to strengthen the minor leagues, and they have an incredible opportunity to do that, add more big pieces, you know, and hopefully it's fallen on the side of the pitching to pull back some young arms maybe in other organizations.
Wonder Mike being in Nashville if he's going to hear some Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, Fishing in the Dark, or maybe some Brooks and Dunn as you walk into all the bar scene down there. You're going to be down Broadway partying up, Mike?
Absolutely, man. I cruised down there last night. Now, listen, the party days are behind me, but it was fun to – that's the first time I'd ever been down there, man. Wow, what a spectacle that is. Man, I wish I was 20 years younger.
It's a really cool scene, and I remember my first night there, we ended up in a bar – when I went to Nashville, we ended up in a bar upstairs where a DJ was playing. And I took a picture with my buddy and put it on social media. And people were like, you went to Nashville with all the live music and you're listening to a DJ? They could see him in the background of the pic. And I'm like, well, what the hell do you want from me? You know, there's a lot of places
to go. Yeah, live bands everywhere. It was great, man. It was great.
Hey, Mike, before we let you run, I'd be remiss if I was joking about it when we first started. But the stuff that's going on with the Angelos brothers, Georgia put out a statement. John put out a statement. You know, I know a lot of fans are concerned. I don't think the team's moving or anything like that. They put out stuff saying they're not. But I mean, what are your thoughts on this? Because it can't be a good feel, you know, with maybe a trickle-down effect if things do get out of hand and they're dealing with a lengthy court case.
Yeah, what a mess, huh? I mean, I thought we were dealing with the Masson issue. That was, I thought, the big problem. I didn't realize that there was such in-house, in-family feuding going on. And it's really unfortunate. Baltimore, obviously, definitely deserves better. The rich history here, they don't need to all of a sudden be questioning whether or not the team's going to move to Nashville. I know they keep coming out saying, oh, it's never going to happen, but I think Baltimore fans have heard that kind of rhetoric before. So I'm concerned about that. It's a distraction to fans that don't need it right now, you know? I mean, Oriole fans definitely deserve better. They deserve, you know, obviously a winning team. They don't need to hear this kind of stuff. There's always been, I think, some animosity with ownership and the city, it seems, even though, you know, Mr. Angelos did so many incredible things, I think, for Baltimore, Camden Yards being one of the most important. But, yeah, it's tough, and you hate to hear that. Hopefully things get resolved, and hopefully, you know, things can settle down. But it just kind of points to the direction that it seems inevitable there's going to be new ownership. And I think in a lot of ways the concern is, well, if new ownership comes in, it better stay in Baltimore, and it better be somebody that is familiar with Baltimore, is a homegrown personality, somebody that really cares about the community, the Orioles and the fans.
Absolutely. That's Mike Bordick. Appreciate your time as always, man. Look forward to hearing you on Baltimore Baseball tonight when you're back. Enjoy Nashville, and we'll talk to you soon.
Will do. Thanks, guys.
See you, man.
All right. We're going to get to our encore, what we learned. Take some phone calls, 410-583-1057, right here on the Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.